Okay. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll continue on with these different things where Jesus shed his blood in different areas we got freedom from. You know, last Wednesday we found out that he shed blood at the Rock of Gethsemane. Then he went and he shed blood at the whipping post. He shed blood internally when he got beaten. Now, let's look down here, Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." A crown of thorns, them thorns were big. It's an interesting thing to understand that what was redeemed here was our peace of mind and healing from mental torment. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 tells us that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know, Jesus coined that word shalom. And, you know, in the Bible it tells us peace. You know, they always talk about peace. But it's shalom, what Jesus was saying. And one of the things that a lot of people are seeking peace, and they don't know it. You know, they're looking for something to get this thing to shut up. You know, they'll do anything. You know, they'll fall into different drug addictions, alcoholism. You know, and some of them will go to the doctor and say, you know, I got to get this thing to shut up. And the doctor will prescribe medicines to them, and you know, all they're creating is just more drug addicts. They're looking for a sense of ease and comfort. And there's a void inside of each one of them that can only be filled with Jesus. And what Jesus was saying when he said, he didn't say peace, you know. He wasn't doing that. He's saying shalom. He was saying that nothing missing Zoe God kind of life to you, with all the blessings upon it. I suppose if a guy got hit with that, he wouldn't be mentally tormented. He would be at ease. Just understand that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We declare we break off all oppression of the mind from you right now. In Jesus' name, I command stress to leave you now in Jesus' name. I command all witchcraft of the mind to release you now in Jesus' name. I command all black bands and balls sent against you to catch on fire and burn to ashes in Jesus' name. Go walk in victory and in your destiny in Jesus' name. Be loosed to make the right choices for your destiny now in Jesus' name. You know, the peace that Satan took, Jesus gave back. Our minds can be free from mental strongholds and bondages be removed. I don't know if you've ever known this, but there's not everybody in this world have your best interest in heart. And there are people that will specifically pray against you. There are people that will cast spells on you. There are people that will send word curses towards you. There are people that will do all kinds of crazy things, and some of them are Christians. Here's the thing. You can break those things off of you. You just go by yourself, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break off every spell, hex, vex, word curse, every potion, every prayer that is not of the Holy Spirit, I break it off in the name of Jesus and cast it away from me. You should do that every once in a while. You should do that every once in a while. I do every once in a while. You know, I can usually tell when I'm being attacked really seriously. My neck will just get really stiff. So then I just go through that little deal, break those word curses off, break those spells. You know, there's some really demonic people running around in this world. Did you know that? There's some mean people running around in this world. And they will do anything to stop you from having success. But you have the tools, you have the blood of Jesus, you have the Word of God, you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can break those things off of you. And you should once in a while. You know, sometimes you can be just going through a normal day. I know we've all been through this. And it just seems like it's one wreck after another for no reason. Just no reason at all. Everything is just upside down. Just, and you just look at it and you see, you think, why are things so stupid? Well, you know, sometimes there are people specifically praying against you. You know, they don't want to see you blessed. They don't want to see you successful. They don't want to see you healthy. So just stop and break those word curses off of you. Another place that Jesus shed his blood was in his hands. Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, says they crucified him. You know, when they crucified him, they had to nail his hands to that tree. So what was redeemed when he shed blood out of his hands? The power to succeed and prosper and the ability to receive spiritual inheritance. Our hands were defiled due to sin. Have you ever heard anybody say, everything that guy sets his hands to just turns to junk? And then you've heard somebody say, every time that guy sets his hands to, everything he sets his hands to turns to gold. You know, they call it the Midas touch. You know, when Adam sinned, absolutely every aspect of our lives was affected. There was nothing that didn't get left out. But when we understand that Jesus shed his blood so that we can succeed and prosper in life, we have the ability to receive our spiritual inheritance through the blood of his hands. Now you can say, God causes everything that I set my hands to prosper. That says that in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, in the first 14 verses, talks about that. How you be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. You'll be the head, not the tail. Be above only. God will cause all that you set your hands to prosper. It'd be good once in a while to go back and look at that and read through that and see how God has picked all these areas for you to prosper in, be blessed in. One thing, you know, I really wish when people get married, that they would have those first 14 verses of 28 wrote down for them where they could look at them and see them all the time. Because there's been so many times I've seen young couples, they'd get married and they'd be expecting their first baby, and then they lose their baby, you know, for whatever reason. And then you can get in there and minister to them, and the Bible tells us that the fruit of your womb will be blessed. And you can get in there and you can bless them, and then they start having healthy, happy babies. But I really wish that heartache could be stopped before it happens. And that's how you do it, with the Word of God. Bless the fruit of their womb will be blessed. But we got to get it in our mouth. We got to get it in our heart and say it. We got to say it. You know, Satan, he claimed before God that we were not qualified to receive anything. But the shed blood of Jesus from his hands was to take away the curse of the work of your hand. Our hands have been purified. Now the work of our hands can prosper. You know, I've seen so many people that work hard. They work really, really hard, and it comes to nothing. I fell in that category for a long time. I worked really, really hard, and it came to nothing. But I didn't know that because Jesus shed blood out of his hands, that caused my hands to be blessed. So how do we claim it? You know what? When we get rolling along, say, no, God causes everything that I set my hands to prosper. We claim that victory in his name. So I decree unto you, I command every curse pronounced on the works of our hands to be broken in Jesus' name. I command every bondage of hands to let us go in Jesus' name. I command a divine cleansing upon our hands by the blood of Jesus. Let our inheritance be restored back to us, and may we receive power to prosper from today on in Jesus' name. That's how we get set free, by claiming the blood of Jesus. That's how we plead the blood of Jesus. We claim, we find out what the blood of Jesus did for us, and we claim that. We pronounce it. We say it. We say it out loud, on purpose. Another place that Jesus shed his blood was out of his feet. You know, they nailed his feet to that cross too. So what was redeemed? It was our dominion and authority. See, Adam's disobedience lost it. Adam had full dominion and authority on this earth. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Adam had full dominion and authority on this earth until he sinned. And you know another curious thing? God had so much confidence in Joshua, or in Adam, that he told him to name the animals. And you can't find anywhere in the Bible where God changed the name of one of his animals. Whatever Adam said this was going to be, that's what it was. He said, this is going to be a giraffe. You'd never find any place where God said, no, I want that to be an elephant. Whatever Adam said, that's the way it was, because God gave Adam complete dominion over this earth. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. That's a lot of area, isn't it? Everywhere you go, everywhere that you put your feet, you have dominion and authority. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is Jesus specifically telling you about your authority. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. He gave you power to tread upon scorpions and adders. That's literally the enemy. Jesus gave you that authority. He gave you that authority to cast out devils. Now we have a whole bunch of the church world running around trying to hide from the devil, hoping he doesn't show up. Or worse yet, cutting deals with the devil. You know, the next place Jesus shed his blood was out of his side. The Roman soldier thrust a spear in Jesus' side, and that blood come out. Blood and water. Scientists say that his heart had exploded from the pressure of all that. I suppose the pressure of the sins of the whole world and the sicknesses and the diseases, all of that coming down upon you. Burst his heart. Revelations tells us that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The first thing we must do is be washed in the blood. That means we're going to be born again. But then it talks about the word of our testimony. What are we going to say when we're confronted with the devil? When we're confronted with evil? When we're confronted with sickness? When we're confronted with poverty or loss? We're going to have to pick up his word, find out what his word says, and we're going to have to speak it. You know, God says, put me in remembrance of my word. Let us reason together. Do you suppose it's because maybe God forgot? No, he wants us to get it in our mouth and return his word to him. He said his word would not return to him void. But it would prosper in the thing that it was sent. But we're going to have to get that word in our mouth and get it in the atmosphere. You know, God also told Joshua a little ways after that, he said to meditate on his word day and night. So we'll have to find out different things that the blood of Jesus did for us, where he shed his blood in these different places, and meditate on those. Get them in our hearts so we can get it in our mouth, get it in the atmosphere. And here's one thing, an interesting thing that happens when you take God's word and you put it in the atmosphere, you quote his word, guess what happens? All these angels that have been sent here to minister to the heirs of salvation get called into action. The Bible tells us that they hearken unto the voice of God's word. Like they hearken unto the voice of God, and they do. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that these angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. So when you take His word and you put it in the atmosphere, those angels get called into action immediately. One of the best things that we can do is find out different things that the blood of Jesus did for us and meditate on those and speak them out there. You know, the armor of God. I always wondered about this, and the first time I heard anybody preach about the armor of God, I went and asked him, I said, how do I put this armor on? And he didn't give me a very quality answer. So I wondered, I thought, what in the world? What about this armor? I need this armor. How do I put this armor on? I didn't realize that when you get a revelation of these different things, and it's a revelation of what the blood of Jesus did for you, you get a piece of armor on. You know, the helmet of salvation? How am I going to put the helmet of salvation on? I'm going to meditate on that word where it says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Guess what you just did? And you get a revelation of that? Guess what you just did? You got the helmet of salvation upon you. How about the breastplate of righteousness? How am I going to put that on? Well, I'm going to find in the Bible where it says, for he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because Jesus shed His blood. When we understand that, we just put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know a curious thing about the armor of God? You know, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the sandals. You know what's really cool about that stuff? None of it was designed for retreat. It's all going forward. It's all attack armor. Doesn't say anything covering your back, because you're not supposed to be running from the devil. But the glory of God covers your backside. You're covered. You're under the blood. Let's look up Psalms chapter 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now right there, it's talking about us abiding in that secret place of the Most High. We're actually, how do we do that? By running to Him. We look into His Word. We look to Him for comfort. We look to Him for guidance. We look to Him, we tell Him we need His protection. We ask Him to protect us. We find Him in His Word. And He covers us with His feathers. And under His wings shall we trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. You know, does anybody remember how wild 2020 was? Anybody remember 2021 got wilder? 2022 got even more exotic? And 2023 has been really weird? Well, buckle up, because 24 is going to get completely crazy. But did you know something? That God delivered you through all of those years? He brought you through all of those years? And He's going to keep you going forward? You know, I always got to look back every once in a while and say, you know, God delivered me out of this. He brought me through this. He brought me through this. You know, I remember I thought this was a life-ending deal. I thought this was the end of the, you know, I thought there's no way I could make it through that. And He brought me through that. He brought me through this. If we look back on our lives, we'll see that God has a pretty much 100% track record of bringing us through bad situations. So maybe eventually, someday, we can mature to the point where we're like Peter, where he got thrown in prison and he was surrounded by guards. He's chained to the floor. The same people that strung up Jesus had him in prison. And he was so not worried about this situation that he was sleeping. I don't know how many of you have been in jail, but it's not real easy to sleep in there. And the prison that Peter was in wasn't as comfortable as the ones we have now. And he really wasn't going to have a real court date. But the angel had to kick him in the ribs to get him to wake up. That's pretty relaxed. But you know, Peter didn't just wake up that way one day. If you look back on his life, he had some practice. You go back a little ways, you see where Jesus had to compel him to get into a boat and go to the other side. And he got out there and got in a storm and they thought they were going to drown. And Jesus walked out on the water to them, and Peter ended up walking on water. And you look back a little earlier on his life, you find out where Jesus actually was on the boat with them and said, "Let us go to the other side." And Peter ran back there because they got in a storm. And Jesus was asleep. Peter woke him up and said, "Don't you care? We're going to drown." So see, Peter had to have some practice. We all had to have practice to get to that place. Getting a revelation of what the blood of Jesus has done for you and is doing for you now is the fastest way to get to that relaxed state where you have this peace of mind, that shalom of God. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that we'll ever know. And it's still alive. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. So for it to do that, it has to still be alive. That means the blood of Jesus is still just as powerful today as it was when Jesus shed it. The blood of Jesus is still just as relevant today as it was when Jesus turned it loose on this earth. And the blood of Jesus is still the only thing that can wash away your sins. The blood of Jesus is the very best protection that you'll ever have. It'd be good to go back and look at some of these things and find out where He shed His blood and what you got back in the process and plead the blood of Jesus. You know, plead the blood of Jesus. Tell God, "I need your protection. I plead the blood of Jesus over this situation. I ask you, Father, to protect me in Jesus' name." Let God be God in your life. He loves it when we honor the blood of Jesus. And how we honor the blood of Jesus is by pinpointing specific things where we need help at, and asking God to help us with that, and receiving the redemption that Jesus shed the blood for. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We praise you for everything that the shed blood of Jesus does for us every day. We thank you for everything that the blood of Jesus did for us in our redemption, in setting us free, bringing us to peace, washing away our sins, and protecting us, and healing us. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.